2 Kings 6, the text we announced this morning, 2 Kings 6, verses 1 through 7. We'll read about the lost axe head here and bring a message tonight that I believe is timely for this hour, 2 Kings chapter 6 and verses 1 through 7. So find that text if you would. And in honor of God's word, as we do, let's stand, please, and read these verses responsively, verses 1 through 7. I'll read the odd-numbered ones. Would you please join me on the even-numbered verses, 2 Kings 6. And the Bible says, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed unto him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. Let's pray. And our dear Father, thank you for this text. Thank you for this part of your word. Take it tonight. Use it like a sharp two-edged sword in our hearts. Lord, prepare us, I pray, for a good work. And I pray that your spirit will have its way in this hour. Thank you so much for these folk that have come out on this Sunday night. And though, Lord, some in the church fellowship are sick, I pray that you heal their bodies. Lord, restore their good health. And just thank you for the privilege to stand here week after week in front of these dear folk. Unite our hearts together as you seem to already have. And even more so, I pray, through this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. Wishes that the preacher could end his messages so abruptly. Amen. I don't think we'll be as lengthy as we were last Sunday night. So, amen. We'll get into this. Let's pray together. Oh, look at verse number 5. Excuse me. 6. About halfway through verse 6, he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. That's a miracle, folks. Iron doesn't swim unless it's fashioned to swim. Boats and old ships made fashion designed to swim. But this old flat piece of metal sunk in the Jordan River there, and it came floating right to the top of the river. And we'll speak about we need the iron to swim. We need the iron to swim. Let's pray together tonight. Thank you, Father, for your great love. Thank you that it lifted us up, set our feet on a sturdy rock. And it sure did, Lord, some 30 years ago. Thank you for that. Thank you for every person here who has experienced the saving grace of God. There's one in our midst tonight, dear Heavenly Father, on their way to a Christless eternity. I pray that even though we're not preaching on salvation completely, that God, the heart will be stirred and brought and drawn to Jesus and for salvation. Then, Lord, do a good work in our church fellowship tonight, church membership. Now, thank you for it. Give me clarity of thought, please. Empowers I speak in Jesus' name and amen. The sons of the prophets were a group of young men who were studying under the main prophet of their day. Schools where young men go for the purpose of training to preach or training for the ministry are not new ideas or fads. And I was glad yesterday when the fellows wanted once again to give another gift to Providence Baptist College. I'm thankful for the new colleges that are up and running. It's the closest one to us. It's the one that where we have a lot of students. And I'm glad we could be an encouragement to our friends up north there, and they are our friends. And by the way, folks, they love this church. Brother Gomez loves this church. He's all the time asking me how it's doing, how folks are doing, how things are going. They have a vested interest here. And when we get to the place where we're only concerned about our little group, nobody else, we're in bad shape. We need every independent Baptist church to flourish and do well in this country, every one of them. We need them all. And they got a college there. And so the business of going and training for the work of the ministry is not new. It's as old as the Old Testament. These schools were particularly popular under Elijah and Elisha. They were outstanding prophets. And the men who were enrolled in the school came to Elisha, and they said in verse number 1, they said, "Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us, too small. It's too confined. We need more space. We need to enlarge the facility where we're trained and where we stay, dormitory, if you will, type setting." And they said it's too straight. The attendance had grown at the school, evidently, and they were too tight. So it was time to do something about it. And so they came up with the idea to enlarge the facility by constructing a building. Now, their idea was to go to the woods and to hand cut some logs and make beams out of them so they could build this facility. And so on the way to the woods, now understand, this is the boys doing this, okay? They already decided what we've got to do. And on the way, they stopped and they chatted with Elisha. And they probably wanted to get his blessing. And he gave them his blessing. He said, "Go. And go ye," and they said, "Let's get it done." And then they said, would you go down with us? And would you go with us? And he said, "Okay." And he consented to go. And so they went down to where the trees grew, down by the Jordan River. We talked about that last week. Trees oftentimes grow by the river, by the water. And so they went down to the Jordan River where the trees were, and they began to chop some beams. And one man was using an axe to fell a tree. And as he was using this axe, the axe head flew off the handle and dropped right down into the Jordan River. And he was immediately in dismay because it was a borrowed axe. Have you ever borrowed anything and had it tear up while you had it? Oh, my goodness. There's nothing more horrible than having something borrowed and have it go bad. I borrowed a tractor, lawn tractor, years ago from Brother Woodward, and the front tire went flat, and it was an old tractor, and I couldn't get it off. And I tried and tried and tried, and finally I had to load it up on a trailer and haul it back to Dwight with a flat tire. I felt so bad. You never like to return anything in worse condition than what it was when you borrowed it. That's the truth. And so this guy, he's in dismay. And he hollers out to Elisha and says, "Oh, my goodness, the axe head fell in the water." That doesn't sound like he was abusive with the axe. It just sounds like the head flew off the handle. Did you ever chop wood with an axe? Any of you guys ever split wood with a maul? A lot of you have. Amen. That's, you know, boy, I didn't enjoy it as a teenager, but that's fun. I enjoy that now. Man, I would. But I can remember as a boy chopping wood with my dad and getting careless and swinging the axe of the maul too far. And the handle hits the piece of wood and cracks. And boy, then you're in a mess. But I don't know. It didn't really do that with the handle. It just seemed like it just flew off. Never had an axe head fly off an axe. That'd be dangerous. And that's why Dad never always made us be careful where we stand, I guess. Wouldn't let us stand in front of the kid that was swinging the axe. And so the axe head flew off, went right into the water. And he yelled for Elisha. And Elisha came over there and he said, "Where did it fall? Where fell it?" And the fellow said, "Fell here." And then Elisha did a strange thing. The Bible says he cut down a stick. Cut down a stick. And he took that stick and he threw it into the water. Now, he wasn't doing one of those weird things like that. He cut down a stick and he threw it in the water. And the Bible says when he did that, the iron did swim. Floated to the top. And Elisha said, "There it is, get it." And so the guy reached down and he took it up. And it must have fixed it up, and off they went. Now, this was not a piece of iron designed to float. This was a piece of iron designed to cut wood. It was flat, sharp edge. And it sunk iron heavy. And iron doesn't float, but this axe head did. And the man reached down to pick it up, and all was well. The iron did swim. By the way, here is a picture of salvation in this story, in this miracle. You got the fall of the axe head. The fall of the axe head. The axe fell into the Jordan River and plunged deeper and deeper and deeper. And when Adam and Eve sinned against God in the Garden of Eden, they not only fell from their original condition and plunged into sin, but they plunged all their posterity into sin as well. The Bible says one man sinned and sin came upon every man, for that all have sinned. The axe head fell. When man sinned against God, he fell, and he fell deep. Number two, you see the fate of the axe head. Water is a curse to iron. You leave iron out in water too long, what's it going to do? Going to rust. Going to destroy it. Just wear it away. It'll wear it away and rust it away and destroy it. So sin is a curse to mankind. Man is condemned to judgment because of sin. That's why every person is born into this world headed to a Christless eternity, because the wages of sin is death. So then you got the number three, the futility of the axe head. The axe head could do nothing to save itself. It was utterly helpless, laying on the bottom of the Jordan River. It couldn't do anything to pull itself up by its bootstraps and work its way to the top of that river. So man, under the curse of judgment, can do nothing to save himself. Nothing to help himself. A lot of religions in the world teach just the opposite. A lot of religions in the world teach that man can do good works and do good things and earn enough good with God. God's going to put it all in a great big balance someday and weigh it out. And if the good outweighs the bad, you're going to work your way to heaven. No such thing taught in the Word of God. It's just like this axe head here. Every person in sin can do nothing to lift themselves out of that position. Out of that condition. So you see the futility of the axe head. And then you see the finding of the axe head. And you see a picture of salvation here. First of all, there was a confession. The man had to admit that the axe head was what? Lost. That's where Brother Caleb is on Wednesday nights right now. And he's giving us scriptures that will help you talking to somebody about salvation. A person who's never lost will not ever want to be saved. No conviction, no salvation. You say, I witness to people. Sometimes my relatives, I witness. I put them under the preaching of some of the plainest preaching or a gospel book or something. And it's just like water off a duck's back. There's no conviction. No conviction. There's got to be a confession of sin. There's got to be an admission. I am lost. Second of all, there was a tree. The Bible says he cut a stick. And he threw it in the water. You know what that stick's a picture of? That stick is a picture of the cross of Calvary, where Jesus Christ hung, bled, and died for the sins of the world. Jesus died on a tree, and his death makes it possible for mankind to be saved. His death does. But then you got the miracle. The axe head floated. And this is a picture of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, it's the resurrection of Jesus that makes it possible for man to be saved. We were making a visit yesterday at St. Mary's Hospital, and my partner says we were walking down through the hall there, and here was a great big crucifix and a body on that crucifix and all mangled and it's laying there. And my partner said, "What do you got a picture of him on the cross for? He's not there." And I said, "Amen. Brother, you don't stop at that cross. You have to go to an empty tomb where he walked out victorious over sin, death, and the grave, and that makes it possible for every person to be saved." Amen. It's the resurrection of Christ, that floating there. And then you got the reception. The man had to reach out his hand and take the axe head. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him." Want to go to heaven? Just believe. It's not enough just to believe. The Bible says the devils believe and tremble. They know there's a heaven. They know there's a hell. They know Jesus died. They believe all of that. But they've never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ for their salvation. But as many as received him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You got to believe. Yes, you do have to believe. You got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died, was buried, and rose again. And then you got to do more than just believe, man. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's with your mouth that you receive Him, dear Jesus. I know I'm a sinner. I'm lost and without God, and I can't save myself. And I believe that You died for me, and now I want to receive You into my heart as my personal Savior. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then when you believe and receive, you become a son of God. When did you become a son of your parents or a daughter of your parents? You became their child when you were what? Born. When do you become a son of God? When you're born to Him. And you're born to Him when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you receive Him as your personal Savior. Then you are born into the family of God. You have a home in heaven and no fear of ever spending a Christless eternity. Amen. That's a beautiful picture of salvation right there. 2 Kings chapter 6. Not all Old Testament types of salvation are Christ. They're only partial types. They're never complete and full. But that's a pretty good picture of salvation. Now, the practical side of this story is that these young men needed a building. And I want to say tonight, thank God that there were some who saw the need. Thank God there were some who saw the need. It became real apparent to me at the meeting yesterday that we have some people here, a group of men at least at Faith Baptist Church, who see the need that we have here at Faith Baptist Church. And that's a blessing to me because we had a need for an auditorium several years ago. And back then, back in 1995, we started collecting money to build this auditorium that we sit in tonight. And back in 1995, people saw that we had a need. It was bad. We were packed in that little old building. Folks would drive in. There was only 52 parking places back in those days. Can you imagine that? 52 parking places. People would drive into the parking lot. Every spot was full. Remember the grass and the gravel out here? Everybody would park out there and all kinds of jumbles and everywhere. People would drive into the parking lot, drive around, know empty place, and drive out. I can remember standing in the front of the auditorium, shaking a few hands, getting ready to start the service, and was facing this direction, of course. I looked in this back corner, saw a family walk in, look around for a few minutes on a Sunday morning, then walk right out, didn't even stay. It was so crowded, uncomfortably crowded at times. And we all saw that we had a need for an auditorium. Well, and by the way, folks, that's a blessing. So many churches have just the opposite. They have people who will not, they refuse to see the need. They want to get along with what we've always had. Why change anything? This is okay. It was good for Grandma. It was good for Grandpa. It'll be good for us. Of course, when their houses need enlarging, when their houses need remodeling, when their houses need updating, there's no holds barred there. Time to do it. But when the house of God needs it, oh, let's put the brakes on. I'm glad we didn't have that 10 years ago. Glad we didn't have that 10 and a half years ago. And we got a need now. And we got fellows that see the need. Fellows that see, there were several men. I mean, a tremendous spirit at the financial meeting yesterday. We were talking in the office back there. It was Brother Caleb's first financial meeting just a few minutes ago. He said, oh, what a blessing. He was excited yesterday. Amen. Can you imagine? Brother Caleb was excited after the financial meeting. Amen. And what did you say, brother? You've been through a financial meeting where they almost came to fist fight. I didn't know Windsor Hills was so rough down there. Amen. No, I'm just teasing. Was that Emily's dad and Ashley's dad ready to fight it out? Amen. No, I'm just teasing. I didn't ask him any particulars. Didn't ask him any questions. They said it was his first one here. He said, I've been in business meetings like that, financial meetings where guys almost came to blows with each other. Almost fist fought. Brother Don said, a church he used to go to when he was a boy, same thing happened. I can remember being at Calvary Baptist Church in Graysville, Tennessee, and they're trying to give the youth pastor a little bit of a raise. And, oh, there was men fussing and standing up. People standing up on this side, fussing about this. Yeah, they don't need this. Over here, right. And, oh, no, you know, we didn't have any of that yesterday. You know what the spirit of the meeting was? Pastor, do whatever you got to do to take care of these fellows. Do whatever you got to do to offset this, offset that. The spirit was tremendous. And I don't think I'm embellishing it any one bit. There was a tremendous spirit at the meeting yesterday. And it became obvious to me that the fellas saw, they see the need. Something, we've got to do something. Something's got to get started. We've got to move forward. We have a need. There was a tremendous spirit, outspoken spirit on the part of the men. And then talked to one after the meeting by phone who said to me, I didn't say anything out loud, but I want you to know I agree with that. And I believe we need to do something. We need to start something. Talked to one this morning who said, I think it'd be a good idea to get something going, get something started. That's the men of the church. Boy, it thrilled my heart. I mean, stirred me and excited me because we have a need. We have a need. Now, we're okay in this auditorium right now. We're okay. And the truth of the matter is we didn't build an auditorium to fit our Sunday morning crowd. We built an auditorium that would fit our Sunday night crowd. I didn't want to come here on Sunday night and look like a bunch of BBs in a gas barrel rolling around. I didn't want to be able to shoot a shotgun in every section and not hit anybody. Amen. So we don't do that. We built it. You look around tonight, now we're not packed and jammed. You're not sitting on top of each other, but it's comfortably full auditorium. There's spaces. There's room for folks. There's a balcony up there. And the truth of the matter is, there's so many of you folks busy on Sunday morning, it's not a whole lot less crowded, not a whole lot less tonight than it is on Sunday morning. That's how it's been. And we have some room to grow in the auditorium. We're doing fine there with the auditorium. But our classroom space, we are out. We're out. And we already got the sunbeams going over to ONU. ONU, and we rent a room over there, $50 a week. Can you imagine that? 50 bucks a week. I think that's what it is. $50 a week. And we take the educable, slow people over and that's not because we don't think they're worthy of coming here. It's just simpler to take them. They can't go upstairs. They got to come into an area where it's on ground level, and it was just easier to take them there and have the service there. When we get our space someday, they'll be right back here at 1280 Armour Road. Amen. Not trying to shove them out of here. We got them over there. We need classroom space. We need Spanish department. Spanish department had 37 this morning. That's a blessing. Good crowd. They're back in that tile room up there. We have school rooms, and here we are with school rooms. If you walk in that back gym back there, those school rooms, that's old. It's outdone. Every summer we put money into it, either new carpet or new paneling or new ceiling tiles or something to try to dress that up just a little bit for those boys and girls that are in school back there. And our classrooms are full. They're full. Pastor approached me back in December. And not too far away, about 50 minutes away from here, 55 minutes away from here. And he made an appointment. He said, can I spend some time with you? And I said, well, you come up. I'll preach chapel. You come up, and then I'll take you out for a bite to eat. We'll talk. And he had some situations. He wanted to get some help with a few problems. And then my car was down here at Meineke. And I said, can you drop me off there? And we pulled in the Meineke parking lot, and I could tell he didn't want to go yet. He put his car in park, and he said, I got to ask you something. He said, would you ever consider opening your school to another church, our church? Now, you know what my first response was, wanted to say? No. But I knew I'd face that question someday. And I said, brother, I want to say no. But my mind goes back to 15 years ago. If a man hadn't said yes to us, we wouldn't be where we are today. And he's talking about 5 kids. We had probably 18. I would say 18 that first year in Dwight. 5 kids here. Now, we haven't talked since. He said, let me pray about it over the holidays. I said, let me do the same. And he's a good man. He's our direction. He's our stripe. He's our kind. He's our brother. He's a good friend. And there's a possibility we may have 5 kids from another solid independent Baptist church. Two of them are his own kids. And I said to Brother Don, but you know what that does, man? That if that's elementary school kids, that really cramps us. It really cramps us. We need space, folks. And this is real. This is not imaginative. Are you with me tonight? This is not just dreaming this up. You say you don't have anything else to do, so you want to put a building up. Oh, my gracious. The actual getting into it, oh, I dread that. February, March of 2000 to June of 2001 is like a blur in my memory. I think I was here almost every day, at least for some time, almost every day. My wife and I went to Hawaii. Remember that? with the Woodwards when they were building the parking lot. And I was in Hawaii answering the phone, trying to deal with questions about the parking lot, trying to have a time. I mean, it is an immense project. So if you're saying, Brother Angel, is this just something you're looking to do to have some fun? No, not at all, folks. I'm talking about a real need. You know, the Spanish had a great day. And Brother Jorge's got so many families on the hook. And it has done better since it's moved back to 11 o'clock. And we cannot move those folks back to 1 o'clock. We just can't do that. And they were here from 1 to... How would you like to go to church on Sunday afternoon from 1 to 3? You wouldn't like that. You wouldn't like it. So they've done better since we went back to 11 o'clock. And we can't ask them to move to 1 o'clock. And we can't change that. And they're going to be full. They're going to be full in that room. And they're going to be full real quick. They're already full. And then I don't know what to do. I said, thanks, Brother Jorge. That's a real blessing. Amen. I don't know what to do. We have Sunday school classes everywhere. Some of them are full in offices. We have a need for classroom space. We also have a need for a kitchen. Our church kitchen is smaller than most of the kitchens in this, in your homes, in my home. It is. To do a church this size, it's terrible. And we have a need for a place for church fellowships and wedding receptions and things like that that we can decorate, and the Spanish can have their service in there and so forth. So you got classrooms and you got kitchen and you got fellowship room and fellowship hall. I said, why are you saying this tonight? Because this is one of the questions yesterday. What do you see? What do you see as our need? What do you see happening? What do you see? Where do you see this thing going? And so I shared it with them a little bit, and it was in my heart. God woke me up through the night last night. This is the time to share it with the church. The men are ready. I need to strike while the iron is hot, that the Spirit of God is moving in your hearts and my heart. It's time to move forward. It's time. It's time. We need classrooms. We need kitchens. We need fellowship hall. Those are all needs. That's what I see as the primary need. The secondary need, but it's almost like instead of a 1 and 2, it's almost like a 1 and a 1A. The secondary need is a gym. And not just so we can play. That's not the need. The building is old over there, folks. The structure is good, but the heating and the air conditioning and the bathrooms and everything over there, it's either going to have to sink a lot of money into it and bring it up to speed, or we're going to have to do something else. And I don't know that we want to spend thousands of dollars on new heating and air conditioning systems for that old building. I'm not sure that'd be wise. There's no insulation in that thing. I just don't know if it'd be wise. The plumbing in the bathrooms, those bathrooms have got to be remodeled. Those four-year bathrooms are an embarrassment. They're an embarrassment to us. So, and by the way, we need a place for people to sit at ball games. And you know what? I don't know. No, if you had children in the school and if you had boys that were playing and girls that were playing and your relatives enjoyed coming to watch, you'd want a place to sit. You can't just zero in on what you think is important. You got to look at the whole picture, folks. Okay? We need to do something. We have a need. And if we had $1.5 million, we'd just get started. Tomorrow. And if anybody wants to write a check tonight, we'll leave the office open for an extra minute or two after church. Amen. That'd be a blessing. Okay? We have a need. Now listen very carefully. In this story, first of all, they did what they could. Every man went to the wood to fell a beam. I mean, to take on a project like the size of what I'm talking about here, it requires everybody's involvement. And the last time around, Faith Baptist Church got involved. From adults to teenagers to children, everybody got involved doing what they could to see that need met. You remember that? We refresh your memory a little bit tonight. Remember Pack the Pig? 1 and 2. Remember the first one? That was one of the most amazing nights we've ever had in the service. Now, we've had days where we've had, 20-something people saved in one service, and 40 people saved in one service, and 20-something people baptized, and great crowds, and we've had days like that. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't know that there was the spirit of excitement and enthusiasm in any of those services like there was in that first Pack the Pig night when we brought those pigs to the market. We gave out 400 plastic little piggy banks. And for 11 weeks, All we encourage people to do is to take their change and cram it in at the end of the day. Whatever change is in your pocket, put it in that piggy bank. Whatever change is in your pocket, but don't stop with coins. Take the pigs will eat dollar bills, and pigs will eat $5 bills, and pigs will eat anything. And if you've ever been around pigs, you know that's true. And pigs will eat $50 bills. And pigs will eat checks made out for $500. And pigs will eat checks made out for $700. They'll eat anything and everything. And for 11 weeks, and we planned Market Sunday, bring the pigs to the market on a Sunday night. Some of you there remember that? Everybody brought those pigs. Had that little John Deere tractor in the front. The trailer. We had wheelbarrows and 5-gallon buckets. And we all came dressed up in farm clothes, and we had a pie social afterwards. Remember that? We walked out. The choir walked out to sing. We tried to start the service. Everybody's out there. I'm not talking about the kids. I'm talking about the adults. Amen. Remember that? Finally, we gave up, and we had the ladies play Old MacDonald Had a Farm. E-I-E-I-O on the instruments. Everybody took the pigs and put them in those 5-gallon buckets and put them in the wheelbarrows. And I tried to preach a message that nobody listened to. I went upstairs and counted that money afterwards, over $17,000 came in those pigs. A fellow who wasn't even a member at that time had been visiting, wrote a $5,000 check. That was unbelievable. Yard Mart. And we're having Yard Mart again this year. Amen. That's exciting. On a Friday and a Saturday, what's Yard Mart? That's where you go through your house, you go through your basement, you go through your closet, you go through your attic, you go through the shed, you go through the garage, go everywhere through your house, all that stuff that's just laying around that just takes up space and you keep intending to use it and you don't ever use it. And you said a year ago, I'm going to use that, and you still haven't used it. You said 5 years ago, I'm going to use that, and you still haven't used it, and it's in good condition. I mean, it works. I mean, the radio, when you turn the knob on, it turns on and plays music. Okay, you bring it into the church, and we put it for sale over here in the gymnasium like a big store and departments and everything. And the people come in, and you ought to see them. They line up from the glass doors all the way to Armor Road. And it's like a feeding frenzy for the first hour, just grabbing stuff. Who'll ever forget some of the things that went out of there? That petrified stump. Amen. And we debated on that. We debated on whether we should even keep that thing in there. And I'm telling you, a dear old lady went out of there with that petrified stump. And, buddy, she was as happy as she could be. She had her a petrified stump. Amen. Oh, boy. One man's junk is another man's treasure. And when it was all said and done, over $17,000. Brother Mike showed the slide yesterday. You know how much the Yard Marts have netted us? In the last, how many we've had? Five or six? $86,000 have come into the building fund. Selling our stuff. The amazing thing about it is we all buy each other's stuff. Amen. So we give it away. And then next year you put it back in. Somebody else in the church buys it. It's a racket. Amen. It works. Crazy. I never seen anything like it. Huh? Yard Marts. The golf outing. Ladies, the golf outing caught up with you this year. Total for the golf outing went above the craft sale just a little bit. $47,000, I think, from the golf outings. $46,000 from the craft sales. And all that stuff coming in. And with the Vision Unlimited program that we've been through twice. What is that? That was a program where you committed to sacrificially give a certain amount of money every week for a 3-year period. We did it from 1995 to 1998. We took a year and a half off, and we did it from year 2000 to 2003. And a lot of money came in as God's people faithfully give. You want to know how much has come in? Brother Mike threw the slide up yesterday. In the last 10 years and 6 months, $1,090,000 in the last 10 and a half years come in for this project. That's unbelievable. Can you believe that? That's what came in. Through all of these things. And now, folks, we have a need. You see, you say, well, let's pray. Let's just let God drop us a building out of the sky. It doesn't work that way. These fellows needed a building. So what they did? They got their axe. They put their blue jeans on. They said, let's go to the woods. Time to chop. Every man carried their own beam. So they all got involved. And that's exactly how a building comes together. God just didn't drop it out of the sky on you and dump it in the parking lot. So here it is. It's every person who's a member of Faith Baptist Church taking the axe, going to the woods, and felling a beam. Every one of us. Carrying a beam, doing something for the need. And you know, this Vision Unlimited program, I was talking to somebody this morning about it. And, you know, in the past, we've had the outside voices come in. We've had Brother Gomez come and do it. We had Brother Woodward come and Brother Gomez the last time. I have done these things for many churches. I've been involved in the teaching of the principles. And you know what? You bring that outside voice in. I've told pastors on the phone. I've said, preacher, you will raise more money using a different voice from your pulpit than if you try to do it yourself. And it's true. I'm not sure why, but it works. But you know, the honest truth of the matter is, then you got love offerings and you got honorariums and you got expenses to bring a guy in and you got all that. And if we know the principles of Bible giving and if we know the principles of sacrifice and if I can teach them, if we all just accept the fact, folks, that we got to do something, why do we need somebody from the outside coming in and telling us we got to do something? Is that really going to change what I give? If I hear it from Keith Gomez or Dan Woodward or Andy Edwards or Rick Fox or Brian Sharp, is that really going to make a difference than if I hear it from Brother Angel? Shouldn't make any difference, should it? In the Bible, principles on giving and sacrificial giving don't change. I don't see why that is so necessary this time. I think we could just do something ourselves, put a program in place, and just take it to the bank. Man, I mean, get the job done. Get it done. We have a need. See, it's here. We have a need. And no matter what kind of program we use, be it Vision Unlimited or be it Pack the Pig or be it all those things put together, they only work to the extent that every person gets involved and carries their own beam. Amen. Now, fellas, don't leave me. You were shouting yesterday. Amen. Amen. So they did what they could. They went to the woods and they chopped down the beam. They're working there, slinging those axes. And believe you me, friend, listen very carefully. You know, we saved money for 5 years last time. We only had to borrow $641,000 to finish this. That was all that was needed on a $1.3 million project. That's less than half. And that doesn't count. We paid off the old mortgage of $59,000 and burned the mortgage. Remember that? I think we even had Mickey Camp help us burn the mortgage that night. Mary Miracle and Mickey, the folks have been around here the longest. They came up, we burned that mortgage. Paid $59,000. That didn't take into consideration all the architect fees and a lot of the tests that had to be done and the permits that had to be pulled, all that stuff that goes into it. Getting cold chills just thinking about it right now. But we have a need. We have a need. And the only way the need gets met is when every person goes to the wood with their axe and fells a beam. Everyone. And by the way, hey, look at me. When you build a building, you got to have all size beams. The truck used to roll in here. 2x12s, 12 feet long, and 2x12s, 10 feet long, and 2x12s, 8 feet long, and 2x10s, 12 feet long, and 2x10s, 10 feet long, and 2x10s, 8 feet long. And they won't forget all that. And 2x6s, and 2x8s, and 2x4s. And I mean, took all sizes of wood and aluminum, whatever we use, steel studs here, didn't we, to put this thing together. It takes all size studs. You know what that tells me? Not everybody can fell the same size beam. Some men might be able to fall a big one. Some of you single moms and widows, you can't carry, you can't fell the same size beam that some men can. But you fell the size beam that you can fell. And you carry it. And if it's a 6 foot 2x4, it's needed when you put a building up. All sizes and shapes. It takes everybody. The theme of that program is right. It's not equal giving, it's equal sacrifice. Because not everybody can give an equal dollar amount. But everybody can sacrifice. And you've got to have people who are on the low end of the disposable income spectrum, and then you got people who are on the high end of the disposable income spectrum. And if everybody at this end and at this end and everybody in between will just chop down the size beam you can carry, the building will get built. The building will get built. It did last time and it will again. Every man did their part. They did their part. And then, after they were there felling the beams, God did a miracle. The iron did swim. You know what the truth is? The picture here. Ultimately, God has to help a church like ours get a building up. And He did last time. And those of you that were here will remember the testimony that Steve and Blanchette and Greg Brittick had at Mead, and how Mead gave us $50,000 worth of transformers and outlets and electrical materials, panels, those great big panels that cost hundreds of dollars. Gave it to us. Say, what's that? That's called God. God Almighty. That's called making the iron swim. Amen. And it wasn't without its difficulties, and it wasn't without its setbacks, and it wasn't without its inconveniences. Recall the parking lot and the snow of that winter and walking through the slush. And over there in that gymnasium, I kept telling you folks, get you a pair of goulashes. Get you a pair of goulashes, those rubber boots that go over your shoes. And one lady went to visit her dad over here in Indiana, and she said, good. And I called her name and said, your shoes are filthy. She said, Dad, you don't go to church where I go to church. Amen. It was terrible. You remember that? Walking through all that nonsense. It wasn't without its inconveniences. And I remember, but God's hand was in that thing. And I remember moving over to the gym, and people said, and rightly so, the people who used to be over there for church services years and years ago said, when it rains over there, you might as well just shut the service down. Because nobody can hear, and the temptation is to turn the sound system up louder because the rain on that roof, you can't hear a thing. It absolutely drowns you out. If you weren't here, would you like to know how many services we got washed out of in 14 months, 14 and a half months? Would you like to know how many services we got washed out of? Would you like to know on Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, missions conferences, school meetings, special meetings, special speakers? Would you like to know in 14 and a half months how many services it rained us out? Zero. 14 and a half months. You say, who does that? God does that. The iron swims. You'll lose your friends' members. That's what I was told. You'll lose your friends' members. Just pray that you don't lose anybody. I remember preaching about 2 weeks before we went across the parking lot there and started having services in the gym. I begged you folks, stay with us. Don't leave us. We came out of the gymnasium with 10 new adults. Most of those came through that baptistry over there. Some of those are still with us. 10 new ones. We lost one couple. There was a fringe couple. And was visiting back in those days. And we sat on those metal chairs over there. And we had to cancel Sunday school, have the service on Sunday morning at 10:30. And you ladies had the nursery over here in the upstairs with no air conditioning in July and August. It was inconvenient. But God's hand was on that thing. Oh, my gracious. I think about it sometimes, almost break out into cold shivers. I remember all of us sitting over there the day they came and brought the big trusses, Brother Dennis. Those big trusses, and they're having school up there. And the kids are having school. And we're all over there sitting watching them put those trusses on the building. Go, isn't that amazing? Boy, that's wonderful. Wow, isn't that neat? Wow. If one of those cables had broken, that truss would have fallen. Oh, my gracious. We were nuts. Those kids should have never been in that school building. It was crazy. Huh? Yeah, you guys hadn't have school. Thump, 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 all that stuff. Remember that? Setting trusses with the kids in school. OSHA could have cut us off. They could have shut us down. Never stopped one time. Never stopped one time. Unreal. I don't know. God was just with us. God just blessed our ignorance. God blessed my ignorance. Just winked. I don't know. Just overlooked it. He may not do that this next time. Amen. But He did then. What am I saying? I'm saying the iron swam. The iron swam. That thing came up because God made it come up. You know, and I don't care. We can all fell our own beam and all do what we can, friend. But it's bigger than what all of us can do put together. And God's going to have to get involved. But He's not going to get involved and step in until we do what we can as a church. You think of the blessings. It was a blessing to share with the fellows yesterday that the payoff on this building is only $185,000 and a few hundred dollars. That's it. I told you if we ended the year strong with the presidential offering, we'd be under $200,000. We had $185,000 paid off. That's all we owe. In 4.5 years. That'd be 5 years this, am I right? Yeah, it'd be 5 years this July. 4.5 years. God's helped us do that. And we haven't had anybody come in and write us a $100,000 check. Nobody. I'll tell you what we had. We had Mickey Camp with his all bent up hand write a $500 check. That's what we had. No, he did. He failed his beam. You listen to church, he failed his beam. That's what it takes. It takes every one of us felling our beam, doing what we can to make this thing go. The payoff is $185,000, and as a result of that meeting yesterday, and God waking me up through the night last night, I mean, I slept an hour and tried to go wake up, and toss and turn, think and pray for a little bit, and then try to go back to sleep. I should have just got out of bed. Been a lot better. But I think we better strike while the iron's hot. I think you see the need. I think you feel the need. I think I know it's there. I've been living with it now for a year, and I've been waiting on the right time. God, when do we move forward? When do we move forward? I think that time has come. This thing's got to happen. We could use the building tomorrow. It won't happen tomorrow. And you know, if you were here last time, it's a process, man, alive. Unbelievable. And we may not go the route, the exact same route we went last time. We're looking at something different altogether this time, a different program, a different people coming in to do the building. And Brother Dennis has got the material right now, just looking at it. Thank God for a man like Dennis Calson. Thank God for a man like him. But it needs to happen. And I hope you get it on your heart. Hope you get it on your heart like a burden. Carry it and ask God to do something and make it a matter of daily prayer and ask God, say, Lord, please, we need the iron to swim. We need the iron to swim. We just need it to swim. We need every man, every person going to the woods with their axe, chopping down a beam and carrying it. Everybody. And then we need God. When we've done all we can do, we need God to make that thing swim. And He did before, and He can do it again. Yes, He can. I hope you're ready, church, because it's time to move forward. It's time. You say, it's time. So how do you know? I just know. How do you know who you're supposed to marry? You just knew it, didn't you? There was a peace in your heart, you knew it. It's a piece of my heart. I tried to do this thing a year ago. Tried to do it last year. Tried to move forward a little bit. Could get no peace on it. A buddy yesterday just pushed me over the edge. And I say, amen. I'm excited. And it won't happen next week. It means planning and it means preparation. It means getting things in order. But sometime this year, we've got to get this thing going. Amen. And that iron's got to swim. It's got to. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. Pray about that. Ask God to help the iron to swim. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I said just a word tonight in the fore part of the message about the matter of salvation, the picture of salvation that's in this story. Every person must admit their need. Every person who's unsaved is under the judgment of sin, the condemnation of sin. Every unsaved person is incapable, unable to help themselves. Oh, but thank God, there was a tree where a Savior died, shed His blood, went to that old tomb and came out after 3 days and 3 nights. And if you'll believe that and receive Him, you can have salvation. What if there's somebody here tonight, Pastor Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved, and I don't want to live another day like that if I can help it. I'm concerned about the eternal destiny of my soul. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? We pray for you this evening. Anybody like that, side to side, front, God bless you. Just a minute, we give the invitation. If you want to come forward, Brother Caleb will be standing right here in the middle. Heads will be bowed, eyes will be closed. You won't be embarrassed. You tell Brother Caleb, I need to be saved. I trust that you'll do that. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, just a minute, the invitation will begin. Anybody here said, Brother Angel, I'm not sure. I'm sure that I'm saved, but I've never been baptized since I've been saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that? Not follow the Lord and believers' baptism like they did this morning. All right, church, I tried to share with you very plainly and clearly. We have a need. I believe this. I believe the iron's hot. I believe we better move forward. I believe now is the time. I believe God has assembled this crowd of people to do this task. And I believe He'll help us and do what we cannot do. I beg you to be praying about it. And not just saying, Dear Lord, help us get the building up. Help the iron to swim. But I pray that you'll be praying. I want you to be praying this prayer. Lord, what size beam do you want me to fall? How big is my beam? Let me carry it. Hope you'll be praying that. And let's see a building go up for the glory of God. Another tool to teach folks about Christ. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this dear church and these dear people. Thank you for the meeting yesterday and the great spirit amongst the men. Now I pray that God, in your great will and plan and time, we'll move forward according to your leadership. We know we'll be tested, Lord. We know there'll be times of inconvenience and even difficulty. But, Lord, we know that you have the power and the ability to give us strong shoulders to carry the load. And I pray that you'll help us all to think about the size beam you want us to fail and carry. Lord, help everybody to get involved. As we move forward as a church body, Lord, do what we cannot do. Make the iron to swim. Lord, the iron has got to swim. And you're able, please. Bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name. If you're not saved, I beg you, as soon as the music begins, leave your seat right down here, Brother Caleb. I need to be saved. If you want to come to the altar, spend a little time on your knees there, then you come as the ladies play a song of invitation. Would you come? I would invite you now to come. Let somebody take a Bible and show you how to be saved tonight. I usually don't mention salvation on Sunday night, but I put it in the message because I was led of God to do it. You're here tonight. Spirit of God drawing you to Christ. Would you come? Would you come? And the iron did swim. Come and trust Christ tonight.